Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues. Why do I say the news the networks refuse to use? Because they don't push to the solutions. Oftentimes, they'll highlight the problem. They'll take a guy like our guest, and they'll be like, can this really be done? Wow, this is fascinating. Wow, wish you luck, David. And that's the end of their efforts, folks. We push further. We ask you to get involved. We ask you to study the scientific reality. We ask you to set aside politics and get involved. All right, this is the broadcast for August 10th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two. We push, folks. We're not satisfied with the status quo. We're not Republicans. We're not Democrats. We're just Americans standing for God, family, and country. Now, we're talking about the Archangel story with our incredible guest, David Millark. His website, arctrees.org, arctrees.org. His goal is to climb and clone these trees. Why? Because there's solutions there. The water goes where the trees are, folks. And since we've de-treed, or deforested, if you will, for literally since World War II is when it kind of ratcheted up big time, but it's been going on even longer than that, we've now changed our environment. Things are out of balance. CO2 is not your enemy. Oxygen is not your enemy. But the out of balance reality that we face is a serious problem. The point is there are solutions, right? The point is David is on a mission, a one-man mission to revive the last redwood forest, is how National Geographic put it. Okay, this is something that we can get involved in when we talk about the Archangel mission. So a quick recap of last hour. We brought on David, learned about his family. They're multi-generational tree farmers from Michigan. They've literally studied this stuff. And a lot of folks have tried to clone some of these trees and do some of these things, but they've failed. Why? I don't know. I just know that I look at the Wright brothers and the first flight for man, if you will. And the big boys had a lot of money. There was competition in that battle, too. The big boys with plenty of money, plenty of cash, plenty of experts. They didn't have the right, I guess, motivations in their heart, maybe. They might not have had but it didn't work out for them. They failed. But there were people who were very scrappy, who had nothing, who had a burning desire in their hearts. Okay, they were in it for the right reasons, and they were able to succeed. Thus, the world has been changed forever. Well, this is true in the great tree discussion as well. This is true when it comes to these massive trees. In fact, they're so massive, so unique, so important, these trees, folks, that it's called the Champion Tree Project. These huge sequoias, these huge redwoods. Others have tried to clone them and haven't been able to do it. So we're talking about a great climbing and cloning project. You climb these trees, you gather little clippings from all up and down the tree, and they relate to different aspects of the tree's lives. These are the keys to the cloning project that have been proven to work. They went to George Washington's farm, Mount Vernon. They literally were able to gather all this and read from George Washington's journals and see a pattern. David then talked to his father about it, who had, generations of tree tending experience. And they brought all this together, and now they're bringing some of the most capable, knowledgeable people in the world to this project. And now one becomes two, two becomes a few becomes many, and that's what the vision is. David, welcome back to this hour, sir.
Well, it's a pleasure and it's an honor to be with you and your audience this morning. And, there's a simple solution at hand.
Plant trees and learn which ones to plant. So, David, let's talk about your idea here. The man who planted trees, the goal is to pay it forward to the year 4012. Catch me up on this, because that's a long time, sir, right?
That's a couple thousand years, but we just started replanting at the Presidio last November in San Francisco. It's the huge military base that's now a national park. We started putting back old-growth redwood forests there. They asked us to do that. We brought in several hundred clones of 2,000 to 3,000-year-old redwoods and planted them. They're small, but they should live as long as their parents did, 2,000 to 3,000 years. So that's how you pay it forward for 2,000 years. You replant an old-growth forest utilizing clones of trees that have proven themselves by still being alive 2,500, 3,000 years forward. And so those trees, they're trickle irrigated, they're taken care of. They should be there for the next several thousand years. And every day that they're alive, they're sequestering CO2, they're utilizing that for food, and they're exhaling oxygen, and they're providing habitat for the animals that used to live there but don't now, but I believe they will come back. We planted 35 cities with our champion trees in the Puget Sound area last year. We've planted old-growth redwood forests in England, and our trees now are growing in seven countries. And we urge everybody that's listening to find some native trees. Those are the best, the strongest, the best native trees, to start to replant your area by your yard or your church or your school. And you have to take care of them and water them for a couple, 3 years. But start getting those rain attractors that allow it and attract rain. Put them back. Start utilizing them. That creates habitat for the birds and for the mammals. And critically, for shade for our children. And they shade the earth as it's warming. It's just, there are so many benefits. Everybody needs to participate, in my opinion. And do it not for the Archangel Ancient Trees, but do it for you and your family.
All right. The mission that David's on, ladies and gentlemen, is fourfold. And I want to get into this because I think this is really one last hour we talked about kind of the issue, the kind of the whole history, the what's gone on, what we've kind of done, you know, what the discoveries are, et cetera. Now, I want to get into the practical. Let's put the nuts and bolts together and start to take action as a people on the ground. Okay, not a people of Republicans or Democrats or racial differences, or we're talking about God's children. He gave us the earth and he said, tend it, take care of it. You know what? And we need to do so. And we need to take politics out of it. We need to work on this in a way that says, hey, we need to stand shoulder to shoulder and say, hey, what's good for all of us? And let's get it done. So the fourfold mission is primarily propagation, reforest, archive, and education. So let's just drill into them one at a time, because this is where I think the rubber meets the road, if you will. Let's talk about propagation for a minute, David.
Yes. Well, propagating trees, most people, and I didn't even know this at the beginning of the project, almost all species of trees, and there's 56,000 different species of trees in the world, are self-cloning. Okay, so what we're doing is not messing around with the genetics at all. We're helping speed up that process by doing the same thing that tree does, by taking cuttings from the very tops of the trees, bringing them down, and asking them to form roots. Well, we use tissue culture, and we use rooting hormones to coax those cuttings into forming its own roots. And what we do with these trees...
Now, let's be clear so people understand scientifically. Normally, the trees do that themselves, and people would say, well, why aren't they doing it now? Well, because we've taken away the water, because we've taken away the ecosystem that allowed that to happen naturally, right? That's why.
And we've cut 98% of the old-growth forest trees down, and you can't do it with trees that are no longer there. I mean, we only have 2% of our old-growth forest to select the biggest, strongest, oldest from. Not 100%. We're handing the next generation 2% of our old-growth forest in this country, and asking that 2% to do the job the 100% used to do. That, do the math, it doesn't work. So we need to assist nature. And by assisting nature, we assist ourselves in the quality of life. So we're, for the first time in the history of the world, this has never been done, we're creating and making, with the help of Mother Nature, old-growth forest trees with old-growth forest genetics. It's never been done. Trees that are several hundred to several thousand years old, they're small, but they have a proven track record. They're going to be around for a heck of a long time, working day and night for the quality of life for all living things.
Now, let's be clear when you say it's never been done. It's never been done before, but it is being done now. We're beyond the point of does it work, right?
Oh, way beyond that. We're planting forests now in several states and several countries. We've done 130 different species of trees. which means like the pines, the oaks, the birches, the willows, the redwoods, the sequoias. All we went and found the largest and oldest ones of each species and cloned those. And like I said earlier in the first hour, most redwoods don't live to be 1,000 years old. But less than 1% of them live to be 2,000 to 3,000 years old, and we don't know why. We're going after the 2,000 to 3,000-year-old trees that are still alive. We think their chances are better of sticking around under the stress that this climate change is putting us all under. Doesn't it make sense to you?
It makes sense to me, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to take the politics out of this. We need to take what we thought we knew out of this. What we need to do is look at it and say, this is so common sense. You don't got to be a scientist. You don't got to be a tree farmer. You don't got to be a cloning expert. You don't got to be to understand this. We're simply telling you that you can't cut down 98% of the trees and expect things to go well.
Okay? No.
You can't do that. And so what we're saying is you've got to find a way to do more than just plant trees. You've got to find a way to educate people. You've got to find a way to archive the DNA of these trees. And then you got to find a way to propagate and reforest. That's what we're going to continue in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a critical one-man mission that hopefully becomes one, then two, then the few, then many. And we're asking you to learn and get involved, ARC, A-R-C, arctrees.org, in seconds with our guest, David Millarc, on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, David Miller with me. He's co-founder of Archangel Ancient Tree Archive and Champion Tree Project. Two main components, four key points to the mission, if you will. Propagation, reforest, archive, and education. Propagation and reforest are kind of two things that sound similar, but the propagation has to do with the cloning part and getting the trees ready to rock and roll. In other words, getting the starts, if you will. The reforest is when we take all those starts and literally put them in the ground and do something with them. Is that a fair assessment, David?
That's a fair assessment. Yes, it is.
All right. So you guys and your mission and your nonprofit are all about the first part. I mean, I don't know how much I can do for the propagation, except maybe provide some funding or some support or some education around that for folks. But it takes a little bit of a green thumb. It takes somebody who kind of understands what pieces of the trees to get, a little bit about the genetics of it and all that kind of stuff. But once you get the starts going, then that's when the rest of us can really start to help prosper the project, right?
Well, that's correct. And remember, we're a nonprofit. We live on donations. We can only do the number of trees that we have the monies donated to us for. And in Colorado, haven't you lost billions and billions of trees in the last 4 or 5 years to beetles? Aren't there just huge?
Oh, yeah, it's devastating, sir. It's brutal.
Tens of thousands of acres.
Yes, that's right.
Trees gone. Okay. Well, we need to think about reforesting that. But that is a large commercial project. Most people need to start right at home, their home, their local parks, their churches, their schools, and plant trees where there once was old-growth forest, but we cleared those old-growth forests off to build our homes and our churches, our schools, our cities, and then we didn't know any better. We reforested most of those areas with trees that the ISA say have an average lifespan of 7 years. Well, we need to go back after we've learned more education and by educating ourselves, know some of the stats. We need to go back and start to put back the native forest with native trees. And we're trying to provide the native trees that are the largest and the oldest, the toughest, and make them available for all people that are listening to help to start reforest the planet and help turn this climate change thing around. We can do it.
All right, let's talk about that for a second. If we plant a sequoia today, how quick does it start, you know, using the CO2 and dealing with that and putting out the oxygen? And, you know, how quick does it do what we need done? And does it have to be to full maturity to get that done? And people need to kind of understand the building blocks to this, the Legos, so to speak.
Okay, well, no, the world should not plant all sequoias. The world should not plant all redwoods. The world should plant the biggest, best, strongest trees in their area, or the champion trees of their area. You know, what are the native trees that have been there for thousands of years that have the natural resistance to bugs and diseases? What's our best shot at the strongest and best native trees? Then we find those, the largest and oldest of those species, and we clone them. And then we make millions and millions and millions of those available to school children, to environmental groups, to church groups, and we plant them wisely, which is not a monoculture. We only advocate using 10% of our clones to 90% seedlings so that we have genetic diversity. But we really need to start putting our forests back for whatever reasons that we lost them to ensure the quality of life for our kids and our grandkids. That's what we're all about.
And what we're talking about here a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the problems that led up to this, we want to do kind of what's called a no-blame autopsy. We want to find out what went wrong, how it went wrong, what we did that was wrong, and what we got to do to correct it. But we don't want to blame anybody. We're not here to blame our parents. We're not here to blame any party, politically speaking. We're not here to point fingers at anybody. We're here to simply document and acknowledge what went wrong and then document the steps to restoration. Is that a good way to say the to articulate the mission, David?
Exactly. We don't have time, and it's useless to play the blame game. The way it is the way it is. We have the solutions in hand. We need your help to help you. And if we work together, we can put back our old growth forests, starting in our urban areas where we need them the most, point source remediation, and start turning this thing around. If you go to our website, not only will you enjoy watching the climbers go up 300-400 feet and several thousand-year-old trees, it's pretty thrilling, but there's a lot of stats on our website, hard science that proves that if we put back our forest, reforest the planet, we'll turn this climate change thing around. We won't eliminate it. There's other things we need to do. We need a way to get away from fossil fuels as quick as we can. But also, reforestation is the major key to turning this thing around. So in instead of, you know, not knowing what to do or sitting around or driving around worried or fearful, what we're suggesting is you go to our website and learn things that you can do in your area with your family to help be a part of this solution.
All right, one of your third steps is archive. Tell me about that, because I don't think people understand. When you think of trees, I don't normally think of archiving, right? But what we're talking about is the genetic material and the knowledge we gain, right?
Well, what an archive in our case is a genetic living library. What in the world's a living library? Well, if you want to try and clone the dinosaurs, you'd have to find a piece of amber with a mosquito in it that might have bit a dinosaur, and try and get the genetics from the mosquito and the amber. That seems a little bit hard for me to fathom. When we clone all these trees, why don't we put them in living libraries? On university campuses, on federal land, so the last genetics of the last great trees will be available for all future generations to utilize. So we'll put them in archival living libraries. And then we'll go to those libraries and multiply them out, but we'll always keep them around. We won't lose them. Right now, there's 8,000 trees on the endangered species list worldwide. 8,000. Okay, we don't have to lose any of those if we were to go clone a few of the largest and oldest and take care of them and keep them in living libraries. That's what we're proponents of, is keeping those genetics alive and around. Make
now,
sense?
This is kind of where evolution and God, you know, a lot of people think they're just opposites, or they're, you know, it's either one or the other. And I don't want to get into that debate, but I do want to highlight a lot of times, though, by preserving some of these mother DNA pieces of living library, as you call it, and I'm using those words to kind of learn as I go. What we're really talking about, though, is the ability of evolution to kind of happen. And for trees, maybe in areas where they've been so lost, it's hard to know what is native. Like, take the Rocky Mountains where I live. You know, it's hard to know what trees would be big enough to do the job that would be native. It is possible, though, for trees to evolve and to take on attributes that can accomplish this, too. What I mean is, it's not a static discussion, right?
That's right. And we're just assisting nature. Nature can do it, but she doesn't have enough time left. You know, an old-growth forest can only travel 1 foot a year. We need to take a lot of these trees and move them north where it's cooler and more moist to help keep them around. It's you really need to go to our website, and it's plain English, and there's some great videos on there of how a little bit of your time and effort, a little bit of your money, can go a long, long way to help your children and your grandchildren's future. It's just, it's common sense, it's non-political, it's non-religious, it's just helping Mother Nature.
All right, so the propagation,
our children.
The propagation and the archive piece, universities, nonprofit, experts in the field are kind of handling that. You can fund that, you can help with that, you can learn about it. But our job really is the reforest and the education pieces. That's why I wanted to do this program, to help with those things. And it starts really, in my mind, not only going to your website to watch the cool videos of people up, you know, 300, 400, 500 feet in the air gathering a lot of this stuff. I mean, it's fascinating to watch and learn about. But you've also got a newsletter there where people can learn about the real progress on the ground of how involved we the people are and what's really happening project by project. The newsletter's the best place, right?
Yep, and you can also learn about what we call tree school, where we get school children in from third and fourth grade all the way through university level, and we teach them exactly how to do what we're doing. And in 2 hours, they can go back with plastic-covered domes with trees that they've propagated and take them back to their classrooms or wherever, and, you know, really take... you know, really get involved with a project on a personal level and be a part of the solution. So in the education piece, we call Tree School. And on our website, children's tree school is pretty exciting.
When I was a kid, we used to build a tree house in the tree. Now you got Tree School, ladies and gentlemen, where you learn how to save the trees. All right, the newsletter's on their website. What is the website, you ask? ARC. Trees, arctrees.org. Sign up for the newsletter. We'll get into more details with David in seconds. We're talking about cleaning our air, our soil, and more. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable, live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Jeffrey Epstein, the millionaire financier and accused sex trafficker, was found dead by suicide at a Manhattan jail, according to three officials familiar with the matter. Officials say he was found at the Metropolitan Correction Center in New York and that he hanged himself. He was transported from the Metropolitan Correction Center to a hospital in Lower Manhattan. Upon arrival, he was in cardiac arrest. Epstein, 66, was being held on federal sex trafficking charges. He had pleaded not guilty and was denied bail. The indictment in the case showed that he sought out minors, some as young as 14, from at least 2002 through 2005, and paid them hundreds of dollars in cash for sex at either his Manhattan townhouse or his estate in Palm Beach, Florida. He faced up to 45 years in prison if found guilty. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
The lead federal prosecutor who helped negotiate the so-called sweetheart deal for the millionaire child sex offender Jeffrey Epstein has resigned, USA's Chris Barnes reports.
A lawyer for A. Marie Villafina confirming that she has stepped down from the Justice Department amid the investigation into the role that she and other prosecutors played in the deal that allowed Jeffrey Epstein to plead guilty to just one count of soliciting a minor for prostitution when he faced many, many serious charges back in 2008. The multimillionaire wound up serving just 13 months of jail time on work release. It allowed him to go to his office for 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Democratic presidential candidates are at the Iowa State Fair. Senator Bernie Sanders.
Together here in Iowa and all across this country, we will defeat the most dangerous president in the history of this country.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, fascinating talk radio. What I love about what David Miller is doing is it's tied into solutions, folks. The solutions are available now. All right, he's co-founder of Archangel Ancient Tree Archive, also Champion Tree Project. We're talking about the incredible Archangel story. David Millerch wants to stop global warming by climbing and cloning the world's largest trees. This project is well underway, and it's proven to work already. We're talking about one man's mission to revive the last redwood forests. We're hoping it becomes all of our missions, folks. This is something where you can get the newsletter at his website, all right, arctrees.org, and the newsletter helps you get really caught up to speed. I want to talk a little bit about David with regards to education and the foresting, you know, two of the great parts I think we can play the most role in by talking about your Archangel store. I went there and I was expecting T-shirts and that kind of stuff. There's a little bit of that, but there's also productive things you can do in the store too. But before we get to the store, though, I want to talk a little bit about the clean our air, our soil, and water with Champion Trees, your gift. Creates a positive change for the health of our shared environment. In other words, the store is not just so David can make money, not just so he can fund his nonprofit, although, A, funding the nonprofit's vital and necessary, but it's about getting people involved. And that's where I think some of the Champion Tree project details have their greatest value, David.
Yes, I have to agree. It's the whole project's aimed at all of our grandchildren. That's what this is about. Trying to sustain a life or a shot at life that we've been able to experience. And right now, it doesn't look like it's heading that way. It doesn't need to. There are simple solutions that everybody can do to really help turn this thing around, this climate change thing around. Our water that is so polluted in most cases, you know, does anybody listening, can you go to a stream or a river near you and drink the water out of it? Or can you, go to your closest lake and dip buckets of in your lake and take it home and drink that water? Our water is polluted. Trees take that pollution out of the water. They cleanse the water. They cleanse the air. They shade the planet. They provide shade from the blazing sun. It's habitat for all pollinators, the birds, the bees, for mammals, and for man. There's just so many benefits that it's something that we need to do right now because of the situation we all find ourselves in.
Now, I'm going to take it from the big to the small, David, a little bit here. You can fund a Champion Tree forest, ladies and gentlemen. $2,250,000 does a whole forest. We'll ask David what that all means in a second. A smaller one is fund a grove. So first a forest, then smaller, a grove of Champion Trees, $500,000. Now, I realize those projects are too big for most of us, but believe it or not, there are philanthropists, there are nonprofit groups that can actually put that kind of money together fairly easily, David. It sounds individually like a massive project, but when people get together, the synergistic effect, these things are doable.
Well, it's a project that for the next 2,000 to 3,000 years will have your name on it and be paying it forward. It's like the Coast Redwood groves that we plant. The 18-inch tall clones of these 2,000 to 3,000-year-old trees, if you plant them today, in 25 years, those redwoods will be over 100 feet tall, and you won't be able to touch your hands if you put your arms around them.
Hold on. Stop this for a minute. You're telling me if you plant one of these massive trees in 25 years, they'll be that big?
Yes.
That is incredible.
Can you imagine planting a whole grove or a redwood forest with your name on it, you know, which will be doing all the positive environmental positives? But in 25 years, you'll walk through there with your grandchildren, and the trees will be 100 feet tall, and the trunks will be so big around that you won't be able to touch your hands standing up, putting your arms around them. That's how fast these grow. What a wonderful thing to leave behind, and what a wonderful thing for the next 2,000 years that'll be providing solutions for your kids and grandkids, don't you think?
And you'll be bringing back the water to the area as well, because the trees need the water, and then the trees, as you say, they're rain attractors. But what happens, this starts to revitalize more than just planting a tree. It brings the water back. The ecosystem starts to happen. Pretty soon the oxygen levels start to change in a positive way. The synergistic effect in 25 years beyond the fact of what you can just see is incredible. The scientific ramifications are delightful when you start to study them.
Exactly. And what a wonderful thing to be able to do before you leave the planet. It'll have your name on it for the next 2,000 years. It's not a bad deal.
All right, we need to get Bill Gates and some of these people to start doing Champion Tree Forests with some of their philanthropy money.
Exactly.
So tell me what a forest is and what a grove is, and then let's bring it down to the level where you and I, you know, the average Joe might be able to actually participate. Because it seems so daunting. But I submit to you that, you know what, if you want to walk from Utah to New York, where I live in New York, it starts with a step at a time, right?
Exactly. The first thing that we can all do is raise our awareness that we need to do something, and there is something that we can all do. Whether we're 5 years old or 90 years old, there's something that we can do that will make positive strides and environmentally, and where we live with the air and the water and the quality of life. And that's called planting trees. But not, you need to plant the right tree in the right place, and not a tree with a pretty leaf or a pretty flower necessarily. You need to plant the trees that are native, long-life trees that are going to be working 24/7 into the future for all of us. So it begins with the education, and I invite you to go to our website and check into the educational pieces of tree school and things that you can do. There's plenty of opportunity, and that's the place to start.
Now, I mentioned the big forest and grove. You know, what is a forest and a grove? What does that mean? How big is that? Or how people don't understand what that means, right?
Well, okay. It's a little obscure because a grove can be 1 acre or 2 acres or 3 acres. It depends on how much area that you have in your planting site, whether it be your yard or in your schoolyard or in your park. We'll tailor it to whatever side that's available to work with.
But it's like the difference of a stream and a river is kind of the point, right?
Exactly.
Right, how big's a stream, folks? You know, when's it a creek? I don't know. All I know is it becomes part of this bigger picture, and everybody plays their part is the reason that I'm spending time here. I might only do a tree or two or three or five. But you know what? Then somebody else does their little grove, and somebody else does, and pretty soon, you know what? We're reforesting. And it all happens by these little pieces. By we can't solve the world by 3 o'clock, but we can do our part. And in that becomes the synergistic efforts of one, two, the few, the many. I don't know when a creek becomes a stream. I don't know when a stream becomes a river exactly. I just know it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what we're talking about is pieces of this pie that we can all have influence towards improving.
That's exactly right. Doing what we are able. Some are able to do some are able to do much more. You know, it's like the gift of our wealth and our abundance. Some of us have been given and earned lots more than others, but we can all do something for our families, can't we?
We can, and we should, thus the mission, ladies and gentlemen. And if you go on his website, they have things that relate to even small parts where you can participate for only a couple of $100 or even less. And if you say, I don't have enough money to even do a single tree, Sam, you know what? A dollar or two to the nonprofit then helps with some of these other parts that maybe you aren't involved in if you're not a tree farmer. But we're talking about the propagation stuff. We're talking about some of the cloning stuff. We're talking about some of the things behind the scenes work that needs to happen, too. We can't forget about that piece. It's kind of like forgetting about the farmer when you got food on the table, right? You got to remember that, even if you may not, in your profession, be directly involved. You can still support. You can still play your role. Is the reason I'm highlighting this a little bit.
That's exactly right, and it begins by going to our website. It's difficult to explain everything over the telephone and on the radio. If you go to our website, it's pretty clear. There's steps everyone can take. We'll teach you how to do it. We'll help you do it. We'll assist you. But remember, we're a 501c3, and we can only do. The generosity of others, that's our limit. If we had unlimited funds, we could be doing this all over the world with thousands of school groups right now. But we need your help to do that. We're not getting richer. Quite the opposite. We're here to get the most amount of trees in the ground, get them working, and helping assure our children and our grandchildren's future.
All right, how much of an oxygen / CO2 difference is there? If I take a tree, I plant it today, one of these big sequoias or one of these others, and they become 100 feet tall, and I can't even put my arms around it after 25 years. But how much oxygen does it exchange appropriately? Can you give me a relationship there that means something to me? Before we get your answer, though, let's take a quick break. Your answer straight on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, ARC Trees, ARCTrees.com. David in seconds on your radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And please help us plant trees, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, David Millark, our guest, his website, ARCTrees, ARCTrees.org. And I asked David right before the pause, if you plant one of these big, massive sequoia trees or something like that, and 25 years later, it's over 100 feet tall and massive and everything else, what impact does it have in terms of oxygen, CO2 exchange, in terms of the people, etc.? David?
Well, that's there is a formula that the Forest Service put out that a 12-inch diameter tree, foot across, provides enough oxygen for a family of four per year. A 2-foot diameter tree provides enough oxygen for three families of four a year. So it's significant, even at a young age, the amount of oxygen these trees produce, as well as much CO2 that they sequester or take in, and they hold it safely. So it's a win-win situation. If every family would plant a half a dozen native trees in their yards or their schools or their churches or their parks every year, you'd be paying back your CO2 and your oxygen debt as well as your paper debt, because we all use so much paper, in our food products and our newspapers that we all have a paper debt, and that would be a more than sufficient way to handle that. If nothing, I'll just plant a half a dozen native trees a year. But we need lots more help than that to help reforest the whole planet, to get tree schools up and running all over the country and the world. And there's entry levels to help our nonprofit all the way from a few dollars to over $1 million to replant, a whole forest. So I urge everybody to go to our website and learn more about us and see where we're working around the country and around the world right now, and help your family.
All right. That's, I want to ask some controversial questions, David, but I want to take the controversy out of it. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does.
Let me explain what I mean. How's the media treating you on this? It's one thing for the media to go, oh, that's really neat, David. That's an ambitious project. How cool. See the guy climb. But what they need to do is double down in the reforesting and double down in the education piece to bring it to fruition, to motivate to action. Are they doing that, sir?
Yes, they are. The media, in May, we did the BBC television live. They sent four people over to do a BBC special that's going out to 130 countries. 2 weeks ago, we were on NBC Nightly News. And they did a special on the project and the positive ramifications of reversing climate change. We've been in scientific journals this week. And so the media and the science community all over the world, we're constantly being asked to do media things, are covering, and you know what? This will be a huge step forward in reversing climate change, cleaning up our water and our air, and they're covering that now. So it took a long time for them, I would say, to really get it or understand it, but they are now. they look at this project as one of the major solutions of helping reverse some of our environmental challenges.
Well, good on them. I'm grateful for that. What about politicians? Because I don't want the politicians to solve everything for us, but I do want them to not be controversial, and I don't want them to be in the way. And how do we utilize them in a way that's non-political, but yet, hey, there is a role for them to play. There is a role for America to play and for our laws and for, you know, there's a common sense balance in a way for them to be involved in a way that makes sense, right?
Yes. As you know, our current government does not recognize climate change, which I think is a mistake, but not all Republicans have that view. We planted last year in Oregon, the state of Oregon, at the state capitol, with the Republican Party, every member of the Republican Party, senator and congressman in the state of Oregon, got one of our redwoods and took it home and planted it at their home, and also with the governor on the state capitol. So this is not about politics. This is about doing the right thing, assisting Mother Nature, and helping ensure our children and our grandchildren's view. I can't speak for any political party. I choose not to think about things as politics. I choose to lead my life of doing the right thing. If you have to put a political name on it, that's your choice. But I know what the Creator has said, that we are supposed to take care of this earth while we're here. And I think the greatest politician is the universe, Almighty God.
Well, and I'll tell you, the best way we can get our politicians to take the politics out of it is if we, the people, stand together and work towards this solution to the point where, hey, they put their finger up in the wind and that's the way the world's going, then we've already made our statement. It's non-political. It's just done by humble action. And at the same time, they see it and they will go along. We can take the politics right out of it. We can all breathe together. We can all work together and we can just say, hey, we believe this is the right thing to do. We've been told to take care of the earth, and by golly, we're going to get it done. And I don't think if we do it that way that it's a political issue at all. We don't need to demonstrate anywhere. We need to plant trees. We don't need to argue with everybody. We just simply need to document the science. We need to, okay, and I believe that's the way forward.
I think politicians need to take care of politics, and we need to take care of the earth. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, but they can, as individuals, though, come home from their politics and plant a tree, right?
Some are. You might be surprised.
And see, I'm saying that's good, and that is the point, right?
That is the
point. All right, another controversial topic is this. Some kind of have this attitude that if you're for the environment, you're a tree hugger wacko. If you're against the environment, well, you know, you're an enemy of the world. And we've got to stop that loggerheads of extreme, too. We've got to come back and say, where does common sense start, and where does the, I'm going to dig in for my whatever viewpoint it is, how do we deal with that? Because I think that's really where a lot of our stumbling blocks are, right?
I think we take the emotion and the politics out of it. And it's like I say to groups that I speak to, I said, this project's only important to those of you out in the audience that are listening that need to breathe fresh air and drink clean water. The rest of you can get up and leave now.
And I think that really tells the story. And I think that it's important for us to understand that these projects, I don't want people to think there's something that, oh, you've got to be, you know, a fourth generation tree farmer to work on, or you've got to be a scientist, or, you know, we can all just participate. Every little bit helps, even if it's just sharing the word, which I've done on the radio today, even if it's just planting your one tree. Now, I'm not saying we can't or shouldn't do more. I'm just saying it starts with that. And I believe what happens when you really learn about this, you know, America and the world has kind of lost excitement for things. They've kind of been, oh, man, things are just horrible and everything's a meltdown. But when you start to participate in answers, when you get outside yourself and you're, oh, man, the world's falling, you know, the sky is falling, and you get outside yourself and you start planting trees and breathing fresh air and getting outdoors and enjoying life and doing a lot of these things, pretty soon it's replaced with this optimism and excitement.
Exactly.
Have you found that happen to you, David, and your crew?
We found that with every planting group that we've worked with, from second graders to universities. You cannot go outside, especially if you take one of your children and plant a tree, and not feel good about yourself and what you've done with your child and the earth. I mean, it's impossible to be blue after a tree planting day experience with your children, especially if your neighbors are there. I think people are fearful. I think people are disenchanted. I think that people have drawn lines in the sand, and I would say to you, all right, let's try something different. Go try helping a tree planting group plant some trees and make your community, your school or whatever, a little more helpful, a little more beautiful, and communicate with those people. I'm pretty sure that'll be a remedy to help reverse this fear and this negativity and this political stuff that we're all living under right now. We need to come together, not pull apart. It's a grassroots effort. We don't need the permission of the president to do anything. You know, this is a free country. We can join together in a positive project like this in a grassroots effort. Just go get it done.
Now, I say double down and do something is my kind of phrase for this. Double down and do something, folks, right now. Okay, now, if I'm in my area, say I'm in Utah in the Rocky Mountains, and I just use this for an example, how do I know what's native in my area and what the best things are for me to be focused on and planting?
Well, you call your Forest Service. I mean, every county has an extension agent, and there's a university in your state that has a Forest Service. That information's online. You can call those people. They'll tell you exactly what's native and suggest what to plant. It's not hard to access at all. And it's even county by county, not just state by state.
Really?
Yep.
County by county, folks. It's that unique, that specific, that local. And that's why this, in my opinion, is so doable for people. If it's that local of a discussion, it's that close to you. And if it's that close to you, your involvement matters that much. And I think that's a critical piece to understand as well in this discussion, David.
Absolutely. And you're not really doing it for yourself. When you plant trees, you do it not only for your children, you do it for the whole earth and every living thing on it. Everything benefits.
So you got to double down and do something, folks, so your kids can breathe easy is kind of the idea. We're talking about the redwood forests, but we're also talking about just foresting in general. And other countries are taking the lead on this, and, man, America shouldn't be falling behind. I'll say that, too.
Well, first you got to recognize that there's a need, and there most certainly is, whether it's air quality or water quality or the level of CO2 in the air or the lack of oxygen, the lack of habitat for our animals, lack of shade, skin cancers are real issues in lots of areas. It's all positive, everybody. Just think about what you can do. Don't set your mind and say, well, I can't do this. Just give it a try.
All right, folks, if you don't believe me about the excitement about getting outdoors and planting trees and getting involved and getting close to the earth and the local aspect and the things you can do, go watch one of these videos where they climb and they take samples, where they climb and clone on the website. ARC Trees, ARCTrees.org. And I'm telling you, you even feel the excitement when those guys are up in the trees. You can feel it when you watch it. Let that be the seed to start.
Watching them go up that high.
But I'm telling you, though, you feel the excitement when that happens, though. If you guys out there working on it and what people are gathering, and I mean, even the people there are excited, you can feel their excitement.
Yep, you can.
And I think that's critical to understand. All right, there's an FAQ and other things up on your page too, right?
Yep, there is. Just about everything you could think of, we've been asked in 25 years. We've tried to have the solutions and the answer for all of it. And the solution is join us. You know, make a commitment to help us help you. That's what we're asking.
ARCTrees.org, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. David Millerk, I sure appreciate your time, sir. I know you're busy. I know you got a gazillion interviews. Thank you so much for joining me on Liberty Roundtable Live. We hope to have you back soon, sir. Godspeed.
The same to you. Thank you very much.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. David Millerk. I'm telling you, these are where Americans can get involved and do something. Be someone. Set an example. Provide the leadership. On the ground, get it done. Do something, do it now, teach others to do the same, ARCTrees.org. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational, somewhat entertaining. You go watch those climbers in the trees, and it'll be entertaining, I'm telling you right now. Arttrees.org, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.